quote that is completely unquotable. Like, you shouldn't remember as much of it as you do.
At work today, somebody brought in banana breath. Hell yeah. My mom always told me that if you're patient, good things will come. And banana bread at work came today. Hell yeah. Some things are worth waiting for, like banana bread at work. And there's a lot of things in this world that aren't good, you know, like scratching your eye and it's still itching. Hell no. Paid not enough for how hard you work. Hell no. But banana bread at work, dude. Hell yeah.
Is that a new Bill Sarsgaard movie?
Have you ever seen this clip before?
I have not.
All right, good. Because I'm so pissed off about it. And I'll tell you why. Because
hell no.
Because it's not right.
What do you mean it's not right?
So the whole purpose of that video was like, hey, what is something that you remember that you shouldn't, like you remember most of it or whatever that was, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
dude, I got some fucking banana bread at work today, dude. Hell yeah. My mom told me if I wait for things, like good things will happen to me, dude. And fucking I waited for some things and I got some banana bread at work today, dude. Hell yeah.
That other dude did not even almost quote this right. Like, at all.
He didn't do it justice at all, bro.
So, like, when I watched this, like, a friend of mine sent this to me, and I was so pissed off. By the way, welcome to Discussions and Other Stupidity. I'm Mike. This is Sane. Homie over here just chilling. Let's talk about this for a second, because misquoting was something that I was, like, really, really bad about doing. Like a lot of my life. And then I started making sure that I didn't quote shit unless I knew the quote. Right. And when that played and I had to show Misty, I'm like, I'm so mad about this clip and I shouldn't be that mad because it is so misquote. But that's one of my favorite videos of all time is the I got some fucking banana. I used to say that somebody brought banana bread to work one day and all I did was just quote this video.
Next time Martha bring it up to the station, I'm gonna like film it and then I'm gonna use that voiceover in there, because she be bringing that banana bread, bro.
Martha is that one who like makes her own homemade pizza dough,
cookies and everything. Cookies, yeah.
Her monster cookies. Anyways, Martha's a girl that a woman that we used to work with that I used to work with the radio station. You still do. But yeah. So like in this whole misquoting thing, the banana bread, it made me feel some type of way. And then Misty goes, have you ever stopped to think for a second that maybe he did it on purpose? And I watched it again and again and again and again. Wow. I'm like, I feel like an asshole. Maybe he did. Maybe he was trying to get a rise out of me. And the more I watched
maybe he was putting his own spin on it and he was trying to do it from memory.
So
the personality wasn't there, I'll tell you that.
That's the reason that I don't believe that he did it on purpose. Now, the thing is, he might get more views after this. Somebody might go try to watch that video. I don't know. And I'm cool with talking about him. And I don't have any hate in my heart towards him because, like, great, great job connecting with me directly, because that is something that I know way too much of, is that quote, that whole video.
Yeah.
But I started thinking about back to, like, other things that could be misquoted. I'm over here like, this dude could literally be like, telling somebody about Star Wars, and he just pops in out of nowhere, and he's like, your father, Luke, I am he. Like that. That is how badly I feel like he screwed that up. And so anytime somebody almost, like, just slightly misquotes something, it comes back to one of the previous episodes.
You get mad about that?
It comes back to one of the previous episodes when I'm like, things that I need to leave behind. I need to not get so mad about people misquoting things. And I find myself doing it all the time. When somebody says the quote wrong, I will correct them in that moment and then laugh with them. And they're just like,
yeah.
They're so mad at me. I need to stop doing that. But that's what that did. My friend sent it to me and I watched it no less than 35 times in a row and got even more mad every single time I watched it. Every time it looped, I got even more pissed off.
But wait, what about when people like post themselves playing like guitar or something on TikTok and you know they ain't really playing that guitar, but they're making it like a music video.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
they're like playing a guitar solo, or that one dude who just sits there and goes bop, 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 bop. And mm-hmm. then you're like, man, you ain't really playing that shit. But
I mean
but it's got like 6,000 views. So like, I'm gonna get my guitar, just go doot 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 doot. But I'm gonna actually go doot 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 doot.
But then
I'm gonna post it being a asshole or something.
And it's not gonna do half as well as that dude who just like music video dubbed it over.
No, man, TikTok hates me, bro.
Bro, it's okay. They hate me too. They love Misty, my wife. I love her.
I've been seeing her videos, cleaning showers and shit.
I know. See, so you saw that. That was a free product. That's that money right there.
I'm at home being like, did you use like Windex or vinegar?
Oh, with the extra grime or whatever?
No, fuck the grime. I'm talking about just in general.
Yeah, we do that often. This like cleans it a little bit deeper, like gets the stuff out that
gets in the glass, like inside it.
It's like, it penetrates it deeply. is that what you're looking for here?
It kind of was. I mean, like, I'm not gonna lie, that's what I was going for. Yeah, and you brought me there, and we went there together, and it was beautiful.
I love how forward you are in this moment right now. Yeah. So you were telling me about something right before we started. You said about Keanu Reeves, and I'm always like interested when somebody says something interesting about him, and I'm like, tell me more.
So I was on TikTok, and
no way.
I know, it's crazy.
So you're on TikTok.
On TikTok, and this post came through, and it's the ones with the photos. But it's like an Ask Reddit thing. And so it said, you know, what's a celebrity rumor that you believe to be true? And so I'm scrolling through, and some of them are stupid. And like one of them was the Rob Schneider using people from Home Depot to like choke him. And I'm like, that's a Family Guy reference. So I'm scrolling through. And
I remember the Family Guy reference.
Yeah. And then I saw one, and it was by... The username from Reddit was Trap Hag, and I thought, well, they can't be wrong with that kind of a name.
That's a credible source. That's like Wikipedia.
It is. And it said Keanu Reeves writes dystopian literature under the name John 12 Hawks. Trust me, you heard it here first. Now, it's not the trust me that I was like, oh, shit. But it was the you heard it here first that I was like, they are on to something. It was posted 8 years ago. According to the TikTok that I saw. And I went, what's going on? Because if Keanu Reeves writes books, is there anything that dude can't do? And I have to know, like, everything up here came to a screeching halt. Like, nothing mattered for like a half hour.
You just deep dive. What is it called again? What is it called?
It's the author is John 12 Hawks, which is a Keanu Reeves name.
That's very Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, like that. I would expect that from Keanu. And so one of the books is about a time traveler. And then I saw one that was about a assassin, and it's called Spark. Now, Mike.
I'm trying to find stuff about this.
He has a Twitter. John 12 Hawks doesn't have an Instagram, doesn't have a FB. I didn't see no pictures of him because that was the first thing I looked at. All I saw was book covers because, you know, author.
Bro, I see it. Spark. There's a whole bunch of random dudes that pop up in the pictures on here, but
yeah, so you don't know.
Okay, I'm gonna share this for a second because this is blowing my mind right now. Like, stupid.
Dude, that's what I thought. I was like, and I don't read books. Like, I'm not a member of the writer community or like, you know,
or the reader community at that.
Yeah, like I don't. I got an Edgar Allan Poe book that I use to like impress people.
You talking about this?
Yeah.
Is this really Keanu Reeves?
I don't know, but I bought the book. It's going to be here on the second.
Because this is who John 12 Hawks is. This is the only picture that pops up.
Yeah, see, that's what makes me.
That's not true. This pops up for some reason.
Okay, like if you were Keanu Reeves and you didn't want everybody to know you was Keanu Reeves, you would use somebody who could pass as some kind of actor.
Some kind of John 12 Hawks.
Yeah, you would get a guy and you would be like, you look like a John 12 Hawks.
That's different.
That's okay, so Keanu, man.
I'm going to have to look into that and really see if that's true because that's like...
It's like the craziest thing I've heard today.
There's nothing confirming that, and I'm still intrigued. I'm still intrigued.
I gotta know.
The fact that you said you heard it here first is where you were like, I sure did. I sure did.
That's what I said. That is what I said. I was like, I heard it. You know what? I did. And if it ever becomes like a thing, like, you know, national news or something like that, Keanu Reeves actually wrote books for like 25 years. I'd be like, man, I already knew that.
I remember you have a hand up on the viewership of that day. You've got
they'll
the
be out there
on.
Interviewing people and they'll be like, and now we go live to, you know, Barnes & Noble. And they'll be like, we talked with people who came here who found out that Keanu Reeves writes novels under the surname John 12 Hawks. Let's go live to people, and they would come to me. I'd be like, man, I knew that. I seen that on Reddit one time.
I'm still here for his autograph because he's doing a book signing today. Like, that's what I imagine. That's the news. That's the news story.
Like, hey, yo, shout out the podcast, discusses other stupidity. Follow us on the socials. Isn't that what people do?
I think so. Like, smash that like.
Yeah, smash that like.
Or smash that share, like, subscribe or whatever the hell.
Yeah, man. Like, all.
Anyways, so, like, thanks for sharing that golden nugget there. You had said something else that just threw me completely off guard. So, you're coming. So, if you haven't listened to the past few episodes, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to click out of here into one of those, and then you can catch up.
Okay.
Honestly, stop counting. I hope that was 5. So anyway, so the thing that you said to me, because you live in Oklahoma, I live in New York, and you're coming to visit, coming up pretty quick. You said, by the way, when I come, do I need to bring anything? Like, clothes, saying clothes.
I'm gonna.
Did you want to bring like a 5-layer dip? What are you talking about?
Hey, like,
You just pop up out of the airplane. You're like, I kept it cold. We just got to heat it up when we get there.
Bro, I could get some S&Bs and wrap that up in like some paper.
Or don't you play with me.
The saran wrap. And
I don't do free advertisement, but I
smuggle
will
it
always,
on the plane.
I will always smuggle promote. It.
The only problem is I got a 9-hour flight and I got a 5-hour layover in Chicago. So when it get there, it ain't going to be edible.
Why? Because you would have eaten it?
Well, no, because you're only supposed to keep food like at room temperature for like 4 hours before it go bad and start growing bacteria. And I ain't trying to do that to you.
Let me tell you something.
Okay.
We have all in our life left pizza out drunk. The day before.
And the day after.
Woke up the next day. And the next day and had a slice out of the box without heating it up. And if you haven't, I can't relate to you. I'm sorry. Really sorry. Did I heat both slices up? Yes.
No.
I did.
Why?
Because I have standards. Okay.
The microwave kills the bacteria, son?
I don't know. It could also give me cancer. At this point, I ate the shit and I enjoyed it the way that I like it. And that's piping hot to the point where it melts the roof of my mouth and it's just flaky for like weeks. You know what I'm talking about. See? Exactly. You know exactly what I'm talking about when you eat pizza too early and it just starts flaking the roof of your mouth.
And you make that noise where you're like, you know that?
So it's funny. I saw a video a long time ago. Somebody was like, this is how most people in the world eat pizza. They bite into it and it's too hot and they spit it out onto the plate and everything just sits there. And they're like, oh, wait, this is how Americans eat pizza. It was that exact same noise you just made. most accurate thing I've ever seen. Bro, most accurate dude, thing. Though, it like, is crazy. Yeah, we're just spit it out. What is wrong with you? This is a whole pizza. Like, chill.
Yeah, bro. Like, just throw it in the fridge for 4 or 5 minutes.
Leave it out on the counter for a day. You'll be fine. Like, that's kind of where I'm at about it, though. Like, it's okay. But at the same time, I will go off on my wife for leaving something out and the next day trying to cook it for me. Because, again, now I have standards. It's different. It's different now. We've all been there, though. If not... Yeah. And just talk about something different.
I mean, but, it's all right. That pot roast got to thaw sometime.
Now, back to the original thing. When you said, do I need to bring anything? When you said that, all that came to mind was, bro, when I asked that, like, have you ever gone to a gathering and before you show up, you ask that question?
Yeah, that's why I always ask, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Supposed to. When I ask that question, I don't give a, and this is me being transparent. Shout out to all my friends who I've said this to. I don't give a damn what you want me to bring. I am still just bringing what I want to bring. Like,
oh yeah.
If you say something specific, like we could use some cups and knives and forks, I'm like,
first off, why you need knives and forks?
I don't know, but if somebody says something like that or ice or something, I walk in with a bag of chips, some cookies, and like some random dessert that I made.
You're like, ornery.
That's what I'm sorry. Like, you're ornery. Listen, because I know that none of those items are probably going to be there. And so I'm bringing them so I can have them. Because if you tell me to bring potato salad.
But if they was planning on you bringing cups.
Then I can run back to the store and be like, oh, I forgot the cups. Let me go grab those real quick. You got any money? Like, I'm not spending my money on your damn cups. I'm bringing what I want to bring with the money that I'm spending on it.
You just ornery. That's all that is.
You've known that about me.
I just don't bring anything.
I know it's the most beautiful thing. You don't even ask usually.
No, I do ask. And then they always say the same thing because everybody know I'm po. They be like, just yourself. And I'm like, cool. And I do.
When you're coming out here, you when you get on that plane.
Yeah.
Because you're flying. Yep. Have you flown before? You've flown to like Seattle?
I've flown. I've flown everywhere.
Okay. So like
500,000 times.
So you're just comfortable with flying.
Yeah, I don't give.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, the first time I flew, like, on a plane was, like, when I was, like, 13 years old. And I flew from Little Rock to Jacksonville, Florida, because that's where my mama lived. And so I used to go back and forth there during the summers in my youth.
In my youth.
I flew before 9/11.
I flew before 9/11.
So I got
twice.
So I got to see the before and after of that.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't remember flying flight was like before 9/11. I don't.
It was pretty much the same.
But I lived security. It's weird because I lived on an Air Force base before 9/11, and then when 9/11 happened, I want to say I no longer lived on the Air Force base, but we would still go to like. Shop for groceries. We would go to see my dad and stuff. And I will say the security on that bitch before and after was insane.
Yeah, it was. It was
after
crazy.
So base housing was where we lived. Before 9/11, it was open. Like you could just drive in because it was just where the housing was for the military folks and their family. You could just drive in. When 9/11 happened, bro, they put guard stations at every neighborhood entrance.
Yeah.
And then they amped up security like I remember that. But yeah. I couldn't tell you anything about flying on a plane pre. But also post 9/11, I'm on the TSA pre-check that game right there.
Oh, they looking at you.
No.
Oh, they wouldn't?
No, I'm one of those guys who gets to go through a metal detector. I don't have to take my belt off. I don't have to take my shoes off. I don't have to take my laptop.
You got some kind of clearance, don't you?
Well, yeah, anybody can do TSA pre-check as long as they meet all the guidelines and you can Google it. But like, yeah, it costs some money. But bro, I've never been late to an airport and been worried about it. Because you get through security, you just different. You just don't worry about it in general. I don't worry about it because I get in within 10, 15 minutes, like through security and everything.
I get there. I usually get to the airport like an hour earlier, and then I go get through everything, and then I'll walk around the airport for a little bit and check out all the stores and look at the overpriced shit.
I only look at
that, bro. They are proud of their stuff. They be like, bro, you want this magazine? It's like $400.
Not four, it's like 40, but you're right. It's you're right.
People,
what?
I don't know.
I don't even understand that.
Where was you? Was you in school when 9/11 happened?
Yeah, I was in, I can tell you exactly where I was. It's crazy because I was in the sixth grade and one of my teachers had been from New York. And
oh, wow.
She wasn't my main teacher, but so in her class, what we did as a project was we planned a trip to New York. And so we researched New York online. We looked up all kinds of different stuff. Right. And like we planned out meals, we planned out like what the cost was going to be, what flights we were going to take, like all of that stuff. And like we learned a lot about New York City. And that's kind of when I fell in love with New York City. And then like that year after that, like somewhere in that period, it like September after that project, 9/11 happened. And you know what? When I think back to it, I never checked on that teacher. I never checked back on her.
You don't know how she. Yeah.
Well, she was in Arizona. We lived in Arizona.
Oh, and, okay.
I never really looked back at like how that impacted her because her family's from New York. Like I, yeah. New York City. And she talked like, you know, the like Yeah, like the thick accent and everything. And she was true New Yorker through and through. And I never really focused on how she was taking that.
Brian talked to none of my teachers since high school. That's why I was a senior in high school.
You were a senior in high school when I was in sixth grade?
Yeah, bro.
Bro, that's sad. I'm kidding.
I was in study hall first period. And I was asleep. And the teacher came around and like saying, "Wake up." Like, what? She's like, "A plane just flew in a building." I'm like, "Well, okay." And then they turned it on the TV, and then you saw the second one fly in.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn, who driving that? And I didn't know at the time what was going on because, you know, I smoked a little bit before school.
So when I think back to it, of course you did senior in high school. What's funny is sixth grade, I did too. So the thing is that when I remember now, I was at home when it happened, and my mom... Yeah. My mom never really tunes into the news. It's my dad who watches it. But my dad was at work and the news was on and it was turned up loud. And my mom was just sitting there staring at the screen. And I'm like, what? And she just points. She goes, some planes flew into the World Trade Center. And you know what I said?
What?
Mom, what is the World Trade Center? That was the first time I'd ever heard of that thing. I have no idea what it was. I didn't know what the purpose it served. I didn't know anything about it. But I remember it all about New York City. And she said, it's one of the tallest buildings. It's two of the tallest buildings in New York City.
Yeah.
A plane flew into it. And it was like early in the morning. Yeah, I'm telling you. And I'm like, that's insane. But I remember watching it before they collapsed. When I got to school, they collapsed.
Yeah.
And that was just wild to me because every classroom, all of us had the TV on and everybody was watching it.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It was.
I remember that.
Like we watched the news all day. Ain't no work was happening.
Same. Like some of us tried to, but like people were like being real emotional about it. And I truly did not and I remember after that, you know how they say like acts of terrorism like that or like big acts like that will cause
unity
and patriotism.
Yeah.
Majorly. Bro, I started worrying about nuclear war. My cousins would talk about it, and it would freak me out. And I really
I don't care about it now.
Honestly,
like, every other day it's like, oh, we're about to have nuclear war. I'm like, well, y'all shut the fuck up and just do it already. Y'all
bro,
talk
mind
too
you,
much.
Mind you, I'm seventh grade roaming around like my cousin lives in like a mountainous area. And so we're just off roaming throughout like this little mountain area. And one of them goes, man, it's crazy what's going on in the world. There's going to be nuclear war. And then he runs off into the woods and I'm just standing there alone like. I don't know if I'm more worried about mountain lions or like a nuclear wave coming over that mountain. Like, I have no idea. I'm seventh grade. Like, what is wrong?
You're just standing there like Morty after Rick leave him, and you're like,
yeah. Yeah. I was literally blown away, and I shouldn't have been. I was a kid. Like, that's just, yeah, it was just crazy time.
But now you just numb to it. You know, yeah.
Honestly, yeah. Like now, yeah, I mean, whatever. you watch like 6 beheading video. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
And we just got canceled.
I think we already did that last week. So, yeah, so can we call out the elephant in the room?
What's the elephant?
It's only an elephant for me because we haven't really talked about it a whole lot. You had something happen to you, and I want you to go into depth because you told me briefly, like just a little bit, and I just need to hear about this. It was a very, very serious moment. Let me just preface with that. I understand that the severity of what happened, but talk about it, please. Please.
All right. So in 2016, I was diagnosed with Wolf Parkinson Waite.
Which sounds really hairy, by the way.
Yeah, like, yeah. At least it's not Walter White. But
you'd be richer, but
yeah, you're goddamn right. Jesse! Jesse!
Dude, every time I want to do an impression of Jesse, I always revert to the voice of Jeff from American Dad. Yo, Mr. White. It's not at all accurate whatsoever. I don't know why that's where my mind goes.
I don't either.
Anyway, Wolf Parkinson White.
Yeah, so basically, like, the electricity runs through my heart faster than it's supposed to, and then I have an extra ventricle that the electronic waves go down, which causes the heart to flutter and beat profusely. And so over the years, I probably should have died like 3 times.
God.
Yeah. So I've been to the hospital, like the ER, like on and off since, like, you know, 2016 with different emergencies. And so last week is another one of them emergencies. It shot up to like, you know, 180 BPM. And
man, that's a fire ass track.
Yeah, yeah, it was doom, 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 doom.
Actually, so, more like doom, 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 doom.
I'm
doing halftime. I did halftime.
Oh, okay. You're
doing DJ that. Mine. I'm sorry, my DJ Mine. I'm over here trying to see, like, man, you can mix like yeah into that. You can, which is actually like 100. Anyways.
Yeah. So I go to the ER. I call my boss because he was close by. Him and my other boss, they was at Chili's for lunch, and I call him up. I'm like, bro, I don't want to freak you out right now, but you think you run me to the ER real quick? Because I ain't calling the damn ambulance, and I can't be driving with that going on, because, like, if I black out on the road, that ain't good. I've only blacked out once or twice with that situation.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I go in there, and they hook me up. They run the EKG, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're having, you know. And I'm like, yeah. And
that's what they said. That's how they said it.
Yeah. I mean, it's Oklahoma. So they give me different medications every time I go. And the last couple of times, they've been giving me an anxiety medication called Ativan. I don't know if you know about Ativan. If you don't, it's fucking good.
I thought oh my God. That sounds like I want to buy a Lamborghini, but I also want to add a van. Like, can I get that Sprinter?
Yeah. It's that new from Acura, the Ativan. that dude got an Ativan. No. So Ativan is like Xanax. It's in that same family. Mm. So fentanyl, Xanax, Ativan, it's an anti-anxiety medication, but it also slows your heart rate down.
Uh-huh.
So I'm laying there, and my heart's going crazy, and I'm looking at the doctor or the nurse, whatever he is, I don't know. And he's just talking to me, and he's like, so the heart rate messing up again? Like, yeah. And he's like, okay. And I look down, and he's like pressing his thumb on a syringe going into my IV, and I look at him, I'm like, hey man, did you just give me that Ativan, bro? And he's like, I think I did. I was like, I knew something was going on. So then this is has never happened before. And every time I'm going to the hospital, it's always something different. But this one threw me. So they got the little nurses with the little keyboards and the cart with the computer on it, and they just roll in and roll out kind of thing.
Just nonchalantly, like, standing there with you,
rolling chewing gum. Keyboard. Hello, how are you? I'm on a gurney. How you think I'm doing? Like,
it's the worst question you could possibly ask somebody. I'm saying, laying on a gurney. How we doing today?
Yeah.
Fuck. Read the room.
Exactly. And I'm gone at this point because they pumped that Ativan directly into my IV. And I'm like,
that Sprinter van on you. Like,
yeah, bro. I smoked two joints before I smoked two joints type vibes. You know what I'm talking about?
Shit.
Dude, I was so high. I looked like the Assaw dude. Like, for real. Like, so she comes in. And she's like, I need to verify information from you. Worst possible time you can want to do that, but let's go.
Because you're like,
like, I'm supposed to remember my social security number right now? Like, come on, lady. So she's asking me, like, my name and my birth date and, like, last four of your social, where you live, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And then she says, we don't have this on file, but what's your religion?
Are you serious?
Yes. And I went, well, today I'm Christian. Because that, at that particular moment, that was the weirdest time to ask that question.
I mean, like, I'm on a gurney.
Yes, but I look outside the door of the room I was in the ER, and there's this big contraption off to the side, off to the right side of the room. And there's all these new nurses and doctors. There's like five of them standing out there with this big contraption. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like,
was it like Megatron's leg or something? Like, what is it?
It looked like Megatron's leg. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't really see it because they was trying to hide on the other side of the dough. But they were all
hiding.
They did not put the machine in the path of the door. They put it off to the side thinking I wouldn't notice it. And then they're all standing out there with their hands behind their back like a bunch of NBA players waiting for the national anthem to end. So
what a simile, bro. Oh my god.
So then I look at the lady, and after the religious question and seeing that contraption out there that I didn't know what it was at the time, I said, what's going on? And she said, okay, by the way, today you have $100 copay. I'm like, why are y'all trying to get money before I die? Like, you reading me my, you might as well bring the preacher in here and read my last rite. You asking me about my religion, you want money, and meanwhile, there's a gathering outside with a big ass contraption. What's going on? And so,
bro, her bedside manner.
It was off the charts. Her name was Cynthia, and God bless Cynthia. She was a nice person. She was just doing her job. Anywho,
I mean, shit.
The nurse dude come in, and he's like, "Hey, how you doing?" I was like, "I'm on Ativan, and I'm freaked out right now."
It's not working.
I was like, bro, y'all might have to move up to morphine at this point, my guy. And he's like, this is a chest x-ray. And I went, oh.
You over here thinking about to like zap your heart or some shit?
Yeah. So he's like, I need you to lift up your shirt. And I'm like, all right, cool. I was like, so you're going to x-ray my chest right here? Like, we don't have to go to another room or nothing? He's like, no, we'll do it right here. I'm like, y'all motherfuckers efficient.
Bro, they think you're about to die.
So, like, Mike, I don't know how to act.
Bro.
So what did I do? Because the dude said, you're going to have to lift up your shirt. So what did I do?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Like, I was at fucking spring break. I just... and they're laughing.
So you, it is such a you thing to do. You just,
I did it. And they're like laughing and they're trying to center it. And I'm like, come on, Picasso, take the fucking picture.
It's not even an accurate representation.
Not even an accurate representation. Again, the meds they be giving you up there is strong as hell, Mike.
You could have said, you want to paint it, Picasso? Just take the picture. That would have made sense.
It would have. But I did not think about it at the time.
Because you were high and dying, apparently.
Indeed. So they take the x-ray and then they dip. And then I'm laying there.
They just
left
you?
Yeah, they didn't
say
nothing.
Nobody stayed with you?
Nobody said nothing. They don't, because they're not allowed to say anything when they take pictures of stuff. Like if they do an EKG, I'll be fucking with them because I'll be like, yo, so what's that looking like over there? And she'll be like, I can't tell you. The doctor has to go over it with you. I'm like, come on, man. You know what you're looking at. And they're like, no, I can't say anything. I was like, but if it was an emergency, I wouldn't be allowed to leave a room. And she's like, yes. And I'm like, so is it an emergency? No, so I can leave. Yes, so I'm not in any kind of immediate danger. Will you just go? All right, bet. So I don't know why they don't like me.
Because you literally over there pushing the buttons. There's other people who can't speak that they would rather be operating on at this point.
So after about like an hour, like the doctor finally comes in there and he's like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, well, y'all stop asking that.
I'm laying on a gurney.
I got it's cold and they won't turn up the air. So I got the little robe on.
So you got like a nice draft going on.
Yeah, I got the robe on, but it was cold and I still had my pants on. And so I put my hoodie on.
I'm proud of you.
Of my robe. Yeah, I ain't taking my pants off. I don't know what they be doing up there. Like, I'll show my titties
all day for
all
no
day.
Beads. You don't
yeah,
even need
no
beads.
Beads. Yeah, you ain't got.
I got a wristband.
$5 in netting. But the pants is where we draw the line.
All right.
So he comes in and he's like, "Look, your EKG shows that you have Wolf Parkinson White," and I'm like, "I already know that." And he goes, "Oh, okay."
Did you know that Keanu Reeves writes?
I was like, man, y'all are pissing me off. Can I go? And he's like, yeah, you need to follow up with your cardiologist. I was like, oh, I will. And he's like, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to prescribe you some of that Ativan. I was like, all right.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. I was like, how much are we talking about here, Doc? Like, I became real close with this dude immediately when he said that. I'm like, yo, you want to hang out later? What's happening?
So, like, do I blow you now, or like, do we? You
right,
know, what are we talking here?
Also, hey,
can you front that, by the way? I don't know if my insurance is going to cover that shit. I promise I got you on the back end.
I got you on the back end. Hey, but let's go in the back real quick and listen to Master P or something. But so I leave and they put me on another blood beta blocker heart regulator thing. That I've been on like five of these over the years.
Blood blocker, blada, blada, blah.
Yeah, I don't know what it means. They just be saying stuff, and I'd be like, all right.
This sounds like
it's
one
called
of those.
It's called a beta blocker. That's what the medicine is called. I don't know what beta is blocking. I assume it's like, you know, it's like you know how people always talk about like their alpha males and shit.
Oh
so
my
I
gosh.
Think
you think it's been fucking?
Yeah, it's like you don't want to be a beta male anymore, do you, Sane?
Then
know.
Let's get your testosterone up. That's not what it's doing, bro.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's regulating. It's regulating the old ticker, as the old white people would say.
The old ticker. Oh my god, that was the oldest whitest thing you.
Oh, they got to get me on my old ticker here. So I'm taking, it's called Metropol. So I'm taking that.
Is it like menopause, but like before that?
Yeah, it's metropause. But it's not pause, it's Paul, P-O-L.
I thought you said pause. I was like, what the hell?
No, it's Paul. So I started taking it last week. And then a couple days ago, I went to my regular cardiologist. His name is Castigier. Just thought that was...
Bro, that sounds like... He's like an evil supervillain.
He's one of the coolest doctors I've ever met in my life because he's real tall. But he like... He just like straight up talk. He'd be like, well, you need to lose some weight.
So I've gathered he's foreign.
Yeah.
You sound so upset about it.
I'm not. No, I actually kind of prefer it. Like if the white doctor come in, I'm like, gone.
Are you gonna ask me how I'm doing now?
Is that... Yeah. Because that's what they do. Yeah, you know, Dr. Castigier comes in. Well, after looking at your records, it just says that you're fat. And I'm like, cool. Thanks, doc. How's your anxiety? All right. I was like, it's high. It's always high. He goes, yeah, you should probably see a therapist.
You're like, no need. I got Ativan.
Yeah. So I asked him about that. I was like, so this Ativan, man. He goes, I can't prescribe you Ativan. I was like, oh, okay. He goes, no, you have to see a regular doctor. I was like, all right.
It's fun. I got a guy.
No one that'll be all right with, you know.
So, I know you can't give it to me, but do you know a guy?
Do you know a guy?
Listen, like, all jokes aside, we shouldn't be promoting drug use and like saying is a good thing, especially if it's in the same family. Obviously, saying needs it. I just want to preface that. I don't want anybody getting all bitter, like, you're drug use. If I'm dying, I'm taking Ativan, if it's for my heart. Like, come on now.
Yeah, it's not really for your heart, though. That's the thing. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, take it. Fuck it.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. Was that the end of the story? I didn't want to cut you off anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I mean, I'm glad you're okay. Thank you for entertaining me with you. I knew if anybody could make light out of that entire situation, it was I did this. So I have a similarly like structured. I have a similar perspective on when my son was born because it was an emergency C-section. And that was the most traumatizing 15 minutes of my life. I'll tell that story another day, another time. But all I could remember were the hilarious things after the fact. But in the moment, I was like, I'm dying. What the fuck? You know, and I wasn't even in any real harm. It was my wife who was under the needle.
That's the worst part, like to me, like is not being on the other side, being on the gurney and having all them wires hooked up to you and stuff like that. It's being the person that is waiting, because the first time that this happened, that was like real serious. It was back when I was with Voldemort and what?
You're not laughing. It makes it even better.
I was just kidding, but
you weren't, but anyways,
but they gave me fentanyl and then they hooked up the patches to like do the clear thing to electroshock me. And I was conscious.
Hold on. This is a very serious situation, but like you said,
look, man.
I'm crying right now. This is horrible.
I'm
continue.
So she was there and they were like giving me fentanyl and they were hooking up like the stuff to me and they were about to like, you know, clear type stuff. And I was conscientious and she was in the room and they grabbed her and they said, Voldemort, would you like to go to the lobby? And
he goes, oh, God!
That's how I ended up there. She Avada Kedavra'd me and shit.
But you were the boy who lived.
But no, they pulled her out into the lobby, you know, when they did that. And like
Voldemort.
Yeah, they pulled her out there. Her and Bellatrix Lestrange and all of them was out there. Hagrid. Hagrid looked at the doctor and said, "No! What are you doing?"
This should not be that funny, and I'm so sorry because it's a very serious moment of yours.
That was the one where I almost died. They said
I remember. I like, you, yeah, we were like on the show minutes. Together.
Yeah.
You were literally no. 10. We weren't on no. the show?
No, this was the start of 2020. This was December 30th, 2022. The one that we were on the show together, that was the ex-wife.
That's right.
Yeah, that's who right. is not Voldemort.
Right.
No, I got a different name.
We're not going to go there. That's right. It was 2022.
Yeah. And that started the series of events that led Voldemort to.
That was the Triwizard Cup. Is that what you
yeah,
said?
It was. She put her name in the Goblet of Far.
Now she's Harry Potter all of a sudden. Which one is she? Well, technically,
no, because Voldemort was the one who had Harry Potter's name put in the goblet.
That's true.
But that's he got old cocaine man who did the thing to put the name in there. Who would? Yeah, that guy. Yeah, yeah.
Crouch. Do you know how old Harry Potter is?
Let's see, 2001. It's 23 years old.
Yeah. The third one turns 20 this year.
That's crazy.
And like that aged the shit out of me. Cause like every time I watch Harry Potter, I'm like, nah, it just came out. Like yeah. it's literally.
But it brand didn't new. Know.
And
it
at didn't all.
Know. No.
But there was other things that I saw that like. But
like when you go back and watch it, you know, it still look cool.
It does. And like there's things that actually. There's so many things that turned 20 this year that like really aged me a lot. I mean, as if yeah. everything we've talked about today isn't aging us. So do you know how old Shrek is?
No.
Shrek is so old that the second one turns 20 this year.
Damn.
I know.
When did the first one come out? Was it like 2000 or 2001?
I'm gonna be honest. I'm really horrible at this show prep stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
it was 2001. It was 2001. Yeah. And so like that turned 20 this year. Kill Bill 2. So the first Kill Bill is older than that.
Yeah.
And then Anchorman turned 20 this year, which is crazy to me because it does not feel like it's 20 years old. There's other movies and
so with Anchorman turning 20 this year, does that mean that it escalated really quickly? And that it really got out of hand?
So Mean Girls also turned 20 this year. Oh. Wonderful reference, by the way.
Thank you. The you only one that was the only one that was, you know.
We're gonna sit here until you say the only one that was what?
The only one that was like the most used from that show.
Honestly, it was the one that everybody used.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. It does not feel like 20 years ago, though.
It doesn't. That's crazy.
Because I remember when Anchorman came out, everybody was quoting it, and I had seen the entire movie just watching morons at my high school just recite the lines.
Right. Yeah. I was in college when Anchorman came out. And yeah, so like all the white kids were like.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Like, bro, will you shut up? I'm trying to play 2K over here.
I know, like Seth Rogen over there just fucking screaming in your ear like Anchorman quotes.
We all betting $5 a game on NCAA 04. Like, what are you doing?
NCAA 04. That ages me too. Jesus.
Because that like, was the year Anchorman came out.
I know. I'm mad that you remember that so clearly. But then I started looking into songs that turned 20 and it broke my heart.
All right, what do you got?
So If I Ain't Got You by Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
Let's Get It Started feels like it's 20 years old. Like, it feels older than that. That song feels like
it's from the 1990s, honestly.
Honestly, that's one of those ones.
The bass kept running.
So, Let Me Love You.
By Mario.
Yeah. 1-2 Step.
Sierra.
Akon, Locked Up.
Oh, Locked 20 Up.
20 years old, bro.
God, that was a great song.
Yeah.
That whole album was good.
Yeah, that was a really good album.
The Trouble album.
Trouble.
A good album.
Because that was the album where
Styles P did Locked Up with him. He had the song Lonely. That was on there. And then my favorite song on that whole album was Ghetto.
Ghetto. Ghetto. Ghetto. Jeez, 20 years
old. That was a jam, bro. I still listen to that song.
Bro, that song can vote. That is insane.
Yeah. That song can vote.
That song. No, the one. So I got to read. So a friend of mine actually texted me this exact quote. And that's what sent me into this rabbit hole. And I like started really tearing up about it. Drop It Like It's Hot is equivalent to Journey songs for our parents in the 90s.
Say that one more time.
Drop It Like It's Hot is equivalent to Journey songs for our parents in the 90s. Right. It just hit so much different when my friend, shout out Amanda is my homie that sent me that. That hit me so much different when I thought about it that way.
I mean, yeah, it really is. Yeah. Especially because like people have I know people that like are in their late 30s, early 40s,
mm-hmm.
and there are two people that they really want to meet, and it's always Lil Wayne and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, honestly. Like,
people just, Snoop Dogg can do no wrong. It don't matter.
Snoop Dogg can do no wrong, and he does not look 20 years older than when he, well, now he does.
He's now he does. Yeah, now he's aging does. Now. Yeah.
See, when Snoop Dogg started aging, I started to really feel.
Yeah. When that first gray hair came in, back when he did that reggae album. Remember that reggae album he did?
Oi, oi. Red light, stop right.
That's when Eddie Murphy
dropped that one track and it was featuring Snoop Lion.
Yeah.
That was a jam, bro.
You know, Eddie Murphy had a song in the 80s that was popping.
Which one?
It's called Party All the Time.
Yeah, it's Party All the Time, but then he had Boogie in the Butt.
Yeah, Boogie in the Butt ain't got nothing on Party All the Time, though.
Party All the Time, bro. That video is hilarious when I go back and watch it.
That song is actually good, though. That's what's crazy. Like, you can listen to that and be like, yeah, my girl do want to party all the time.
Bro, I started singing, put a little ton of man in your butt at work. And I just realized it was the wrong place and the wrong time. I did not work in radio anymore. I can't just do that.
That's why I worry about getting a real job, too.
Oh, that's why?
Yeah, because, man, you know me. Like, I can't be professional.
I know, especially on Ativan.
No.
You got real somber. No. By the way, Mike, you in New York, you know a guy.
Oh, yeah. So about that. What you need me to bring when I come up there?
I hate you so much. So this is Discussions and Other Stupidity. Mike and staying with you. Don't forget to catch us on YouTube. If you're not listening to this or watching this on YouTube, there may be some like visual aspects that you missed out on. Make sure that you're catching that. And then also hit us up on social media. We've got some bonus content up there whenever I get around to it. I was just so worried about you, baby. I was just so worried about you.
I know. All right?
Okay.
That's why I text you like nonchalantly. Hey, yo, check out where I'm at.
Dude, you literally, I'm gonna put that up on our Instagram and like just anywhere because
are you gonna put the comparison of me and Saw Dude?
Absolutely. I'm putting a whole bunch of it on there because you just were messaging me some off the wall shit. I'm like, let's talk about the fact that you're in the hospital. Anyways, catch more of that bonus content again on our social media. That's at DOS Podcast. And make sure you catch us next week. Until I say next week, because that's how delayed I am in posting episodes lately. So that being said, just behave yourself because we out this bug. Stay off drugs.
Wow.